I greet you in Jesus' name and wish you God's blessing this morning. I'm trusting that our hearts are have already been encouraged and we've been blessed by God's word in a very rich way. I wonder how many times we forget to thank the Lord for just the simple blessing of being able to sit here, not expecting the doors to burst open and the police to step in and to just disturb the service. We are blessed that we have, number one, that we have the word, and then we also that we can so freely sit here. And we don't worry about those things. We need to be thankful. Children, I just want to encourage you to be thankful for this time. Be thankful for the opportunities that we have to hear God's word being preached again. Turn your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 9. Ezekiel chapter 9. The book of Ezekiel comes after after the book of Daniel, and it comes before, I think, Obadiah, if I have it right. No, I'm sorry, it comes before Daniel. It comes before Daniel and after Jeremiah. It's a fairly big book, so you should be able to find it. Some of these books are a little harder. Actually, it's after Lamentation. Lamentation, Ezekiel, and then it's Daniel. So it's a fairly big book, so you can find it. I know some of these Old Testament books we don't open very much. We don't go into as much, maybe not as much as we should. And so sometimes some people have a hard time finding that in their Bibles. Ezekiel chapter 9. I'd just like to this is not my message, but I trust it gives you a little bit the heart cry, the burden behind, or maybe some of the underlying passion or desire that I have and trust that you have. And I would like to, if you don't have it, I would like to stir that desire in your heart this morning. It's a word from the prophet of God here, Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 3. Starting there, we'll read to verse 10. It says, "And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that are done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in mine hearing, Go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly young, old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark. And begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men, which were before the house. And he said unto them, Defile the house and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth and slew the city. And it came to pass while they were slaying them, and I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried and said, Ah, Lord God, wilt thou destroy the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? Then said he unto me, The iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood, and the city is full of perverseness. For they say, The Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. As for me also, mine eye shall not spare, neither shall I have pity, but I will recompense their way upon their head. We'll stop there. This is a very sad picture. The prophet here, he was having one of his visions. He saw this city, and he saw one that was clothed with linen, and the Lord had told this man that was in linen that he's supposed to go through the city. And I know this was a vision. I don't know that this was, that it actually happened in a literal sense right there before his eyes, but I think it did happen literally in the time to come that he had prophesied about. I believe God brought some of these things to pass. And that's why some of the judgment of Jerusalem happened later on, and so forth. But the thing that I would just like to have us draw our attention to, the Lord said, he's in verse 4, he said, go in the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And this is talking about the temple of God, the people of God, the assembly of God, and the abominations that are done there. And so the question I have, where do we find ourselves? Are we sighing and crying for the abominations of this world? And then also the abominations of so-called Christianity, so-called Christendom in this world. Here it was life and death. If there wasn't, and that sighing and crying basically is a burdened heart when we see a profession for Christianity, but not a life, living after the commandments of God and how God teaches us to walk. There's a turning away from that instead of following after. And there should be a burdened heart, a crying heart saying, Lord, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on your people, Lord. And not in a way, I don't think Ezekiel here, I don't think he was setting himself aside and saying, it's their fault, it's their problem. And we shouldn't do that either. But is our heart burdened this morning? Is our heart burdened for the people of God, for the kingdom of God, for the church of God, for the purity of the church? Is our heart burdened? And I think it's a right and a good thing. If it's not, if our heart is not burdened, where do we find ourselves? Where do we find ourselves? May God have mercy on us. So that's a bit of just the backdrop of my message. It's not my message this morning. And yet it comes with that burning desire. It comes with that burden in my heart for the church. And when I say the church, now I don't mean specifically only here, but I do think here as well. I know I've preached other messages that go along with this message, other times as well. And hopefully I'm not, repeating myself so much that you become dull of hearing. A number of years ago, it was in the 1990s, actually, is when this teacher, he had changed his name to David Koresh. He was from, or he ended up in Waco, Texas, and some of you older ones would probably remember of some of those things happening back in when it climaxed in April of 1993. This was a false teacher, a false prophet, somebody that claimed to be a prophet, somebody that claimed to be someone, and was gathering a gathering of people around him, and seemingly had deceived many. Many innocent ones were caught in their trap. And in April of 1993, it ended in bloodshed and violence. And he ended up getting killed in the process. The FBI and some of the other agencies involved ended up besieging the little camp that they were at, and ended up having a fight over it, and ended up in bloodshed and violence. A sad ending for someone that was claiming to be a Christ, be a Messiah, or a And I'm not sure exactly when he claimed some of these things for sure, but he definitely claimed to be a prophet. He claimed to be someone that people would follow after. And I'm just sharing these things. These things happened not so long ago, and some of us older ones would remember some of that. Just to start your minds thinking, actually before I do that, just another illustration. When we sometimes when we get a piece of equipment, a piece of a tool or some little thing, even such a thing as a gun, it comes in the mail, or we go to the store, we get it, and we take it off the shelf, and it comes in a box or whatever, and we lay it on the floor there, and we start opening things, and we take out the wrapping paper, we take out the padding that's around it and all that stuff, and then we get something that's called an owner's manual. And we start looking at, because, you know, we're really just interested in that item. We're just really interested in having that thing and getting our hands on it and using that tool and so forth. And so we start opening this owner's manual, and we start paging through it, and, you know, we want to get it to be used as soon as we can. There's pages then that include a whole bunch of things, and I don't know how many of you spend a lot of hours or time looking on the pages where it has these red lines and beware and warning and important. You spend a lot of time on that? You don't. How many of you do spend a lot of time on that? I'd like to see the raise of hands. Nobody takes much time with that. Nobody spends much time with that. Yeah, and then you go on, and there's more warnings and warnings of danger of explosion, warnings. Yeah, why not? Why don't we? Because we don't see the danger. We don't see the, or we think we know the danger. Perhaps we think we know. We know. And this here is owner's manual for a pellet gun. We know how to handle it. We know how to handle it. No problem. Sometimes we treat life that way. Too much. Too much. I know. I also don't spend a lot of time reading the warnings in a owner's manual. I don't. I do actually. Depending what it is, especially if it's a new item, I do actually glance over what's the general context of this, because I could be blown up, depending what you have. I could be blown up, or I could be killed, I could be hurt, I could be, you know, and so forth. This morning I'd like to preach. My title is Warning. Hopefully you don't do the thing that I have done with the owner's manuals, and you don't pay attention to the warnings. Warnings, beware of false teachers. Warning, beware of false teachers. You know, we think of this David Koresh there at Waco, Texas, and we think that's far off. We would never do such a thing. We would know before anything like that happens, we would know that that's not right. And why would I bring something like that? I know that's a far off thing. Hopefully I can bring a little bit some closer home things for us to maybe relate to as well. I don't just have a lot of examples really close home, but I have one of them that I do think affects us. I don't think we need to. I guess something I also would like to share this morning, that we don't. I don't want to put a fear in our heart an unnecessary fear. I think there should be a godly fear within us, but an unnecessary fear, a fear that we would just worry and worry and worry. And yet, there are some very clear warnings for us in the Bible. And I'd just like us to sit up and pay attention to the warnings. Listen carefully. Even you younger children, younger youth, pay attention to these warnings. They can save your life and the life of those around you if you pay attention to them. So warning, beware of false teachers. Let's first of all go to Matthew chapter 7. The beware here that I got in my title here, this is where that would come from. Jesus used, or at least in the English language, it's translated to the word beware in our King James Version that we use here. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. 13 down to verse 20, it says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets." Here's that word beware. "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? So every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Here we can see that some false prophets come. Here Jesus is giving us a warning. He talks about these false prophets that come, and he says, "Beware." In verse 15, "Beware of false prophets." It's one of those many warnings. This is not. I don't have all the warnings that Jesus talked on this morning. I don't have them all that I'm going to be touching on. But I just want to just again remind us there are many warnings, and let's pay attention to the Word of God and the warnings that are in the Word of God. I'm not going to touch on every aspect, and so please don't think that this is all that there's to it. But here's one of those where he says, "Beware of false prophets." And he specifically says, "They come to you with an appearance of godliness." That's one thing that we need to be aware of. There's a lot of an appearance of godliness. And even this David that had pulled a number of followers there at Waco, Texas there, you know, he appeared to be a Christian. And some people took it. Some people took it. And they accepted that. They received that. They thought that he must be right because he's professing Christianity. And today, there are many others in this world that profess Christianity, but they don't know Jesus. They're not walking with him, and they claim to be. Back in the 1970s, I'm not exactly sure when he started, but there was another false prophet, and some of your older ones, older than me, remember him more. I remember talk of it way back when I was young, but not much. And his name was Jim Jones. Jimmy Jones, I think, was another nickname or name that he would have been known by. He also claimed to be the Messiah. At his end in 1978, this false prophet convinced a little over 900 people, 900 followers, to commit suicide by poisoning themselves and thus supposedly preserving the people's temple for eternity. You know, there again, it's far out, And yet it starts little. And if we don't pay attention to the warnings that God has given to us, and Jesus specifically said, they come to you in sheep's clothing. And when that day came, I don't understand why some people's eyes weren't open. I'm an adult. There were, I think, 200 and some children that were killed in that process. They got them to to drink or inject in themselves, or others injected in them poison mixed with other things. But I don't understand why somebody wouldn't have woke up to the reality and been like, wait a minute, and run off. But somehow he convinced them to believe. They are preserving God's temple or the people's temple there for eternity by just simply ending life in that way. I know we can just kind of shrug that off and say, I wouldn't do it. But our mind is terribly deceitful. Our mind, every one of us has the potential of being deceived. Every one of us has that potential. And that's why I believe that Jesus warns us, but there's some very clear things that Jesus also warns in or teaches here in this scripture that we can take note of. He talks about this being aware of false prophets, but there's some clear things that help us discern what those false prophets, how to pick them out, how to notice them. And he says it's by their fruits. What fruit? What fruit's coming out of any person, any organization, any system, any whatever, anything that professes godliness? What fruit is coming out? Is it a fruit of Christ? Is it really the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit? And there's many that claim and profess being led by the Spirit, but is it genuine? Is it real? And by their fruits you will know them, he says. It talks about the good fruit. In verse 17, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. And we know what those things are. I mean, I trust we know some of those things that I know sometimes because of deception, we don't know those things either. But some of the things I think is the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, those things, as well as an embracing of the gospel, the whole gospel, not just running off with one verse, but you take the whole gospel, those things, and you live, you're walking with that. And I'm not saying that we don't have anything to grow in, or that any one of us has it all perfect, but but that should be our endeavor, that we embrace the whole gospel. And if we know that we are erring in some place, that we are open to receive instruction and so forth. But beware, because the fruit isn't going to be good. The fruit is not going to be good if there is false teaching. Even though it claims a whole bunch of good things. just like that Jim Jones. And also more recently here in 2015, there was some of you heard of this thing here in Georgia. This miraculous oil thing that was oozing from a Bible, supposedly, that whole claim that a ministry had in Georgia there, I think the pastor's name there was Jerry Pierce, and it was supposedly coming from his Bible. That's deception. That's deception. Later on, the local community, or actually it was Times Free Press, I guess, decided to take some of this oil and do some sampling, and found out that it matched the oil that's sold in Tractor Supply, and they connected the dots that that's where it came from. It didn't come from the Bible. I know we can think this is funny, this is weird. It's actually sad. It's actually sad that that somebody is claiming Christianity and doing these things. You know what that does to the world? It causes it to be a stench. It causes it to be an ugly thing. But the sad thing is, they went around, I forget exactly, I think it was over 300, one time at least, I'm not sure if it was just in one time, but over a period of time, over 315,000 vials. I'm not sure how big those vials were that they passed out or gave in the name of holy oil, or in the name of this oil that God supposedly is doing. That's deception. That's false teaching. That's false doctrine. That's the Bible doesn't talk anything about that, excepting that that stuff is going to come. Don't follow after it. Don't follow after it. Warning is what the Bible says. Warning. Be careful. That it's not good fruit. It doesn't produce good fruit. It's not true. it's a lie. Also, let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. I'm just going to grab a few of those warnings out, and I want you to take these warnings and let's take them seriously. Let's not take them lightly, because there is life and death. It was life and death physically, actually, for David, the group that followed David Koresh, Jim Jones, and also this man these people that followed Jerry Pierce's Bible and that miraculous healing oil, whatever all that they had. I don't know that it was a physical death necessarily. They didn't drink it. They just used it, whatever all. But it's deception. And in the end, it will lead to spiritual death, if nothing else. It'll lead to spiritual death. And I don't think that... I think God has given even those that follow those things a time yet to repent and to lay aside those things, and it's some of the foolish things that this world goes after. Matthew chapter 24, the first verse is there. I'd like to actually, I won't read the whole chapter because of the time and so forth, but I'd like to take a few verses here. We'll read down to, I think, verse 20. but try to catch the warnings. Try to catch the warnings that Jesus has here. It says, "But he that shall endure unto the end," we'd heard about a marathon this morning, "but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Verse 14, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." He's talking about the end times. "When therefore ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them which give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be." I think we'll stop there. Actually, that was not the verses. I had got it mixed up with it. It was not the verses that I was wanting to read. Sorry about that. Let me just go back up. Verse 4, I'm just going to pull these few out instead of rereading it. Verse 4, it says, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Take heed that no man deceive you. And that taking heed to me is warning. Careful. Be careful. You know, remember that, you know, there's also important things in an owner's manual, in the message that God has for us as well. There's warnings that if you do these things, or if you don't do these things, it's going to be a danger for you. And here he says, "Take heed that no man deceive you." And verse 5, he says, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." There again, think of those stories of those men that came, and they claimed to be Christ. They claimed to be in Christ's position. Anyone that does that, anyone that claims that, Jesus says that we shouldn't follow after them. They will deceive many and so forth. Then down in verse 11, it says, "For many false prophets shall rise and deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold." He's warning again that there's going to be a lot of this stuff that's happening, and I believe it's even more so as time goes on. People are desperate to hear something better. Right now, what we hear about is war, and we hear about the conflict in Ukraine and Russia and the conflict between the U.S. and other nations and so forth, and you know, all those things. And Jesus talks about that you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. But I think with all those things, humanity, and we included, tend to want to hear something more refreshing, more encouraging, and something maybe more dynamic, that would impress us much. And so right in the middle of all this, we can expect there's a rising of people that will come in the name of Christ and will claim this is salvation. This is the way. And they take you completely away from the scripture. They take you completely away from that. And Jesus is warning us that many false prophets shall rise. Paul, I believe it was, I didn't look up these scriptures, but he talks about that they're even going to rise up from within you. And I think that's from within even people we know. And that's where it becomes very, very deceiving, very, very difficult, because we know that person, and that person teaching something that is not scriptural, is not good, is not godly, and they will deceive. And the thing that's, I think we take these things too lightly. There's deceitfulness in that whole thing. If I could convince you that this is gasoline up here, which it's not, but then turn around and convince you to drink it, that's called deception. That's called deception. When I convince you that something that's poisonous is not poisonous or won't harm you. And the terrible thing is our minds actually can get to the place of us actually embracing something like that. That we're okay with something like that. And especially on a spiritual level, when it's not tangible, when it's not touchable by our fingers, maybe in a sense, is even more dangerous I believe, in many ways. But so they will say, here's Christ, there's Christ, and I think, and he says that they're going to deceive many. I don't think that it's only just simply those that profess and those that claim to be a Christ, but I think it's also I think we hear things like, over here you can really get a spiritual blessing. Over there, if you would just go there, you could really get an anointing of God upon your life. And I think I'm not against going places to get revived and get encouraged and get spoken to and so forth. But just because it sounds like that, be careful. Or don't just accept it all. Don't just accept those things that are just claiming these things. And one of those that I would just sound an alarm or a caution on, I don't know that we hear specifically, but some of our type of people have, I think, been swept under with this, and that's this men's encounter out in Missouri. I don't know where you all are at with that, but I would just sound the alarm on where they're at with things. It's not, it doesn't, It doesn't seem to be the whole gospel. It sounds very, very spiritual. It sounds very, very, they come with the idea of, you want to be free in Christ. Well, of course we do. I do. You want to be free. It sounds with, it's all so spiritual sounding, also good sounding. But I'd sound the warning. I'd sound the alarm on some of the things that they are also seem to be involved in, and that's in the area their approach to worship and singing and music would not be clear at all. They, from what I understand, are also not clear on divorce and remarriage. Some of those things, I mean, I don't know just a whole lot about it, but I'm concerned about it, and I just sound the alarm. For us, that affects us closer, and sometimes the closer home, it's a little bit more deceiving. It's a little bit more deceiving. I would just really desire to impress upon you, take some of these things and read your manual. Read the Bible. Get familiar with it. And those things will stand out. And I know I'm mentioning a few of these places and a few of these things. That's not the only ones. There are many today that we can get involved with. And some of the places, you know, may be okay and they may whatever all, but be careful. Be careful because it will lead us to either to death or life. We don't have a halfway between. And just an example for you. You know, when we deal with money, it's important for us to understand what the right thing is. What the right thing is on money. I would way rather encourage you, if you're talking about financial things and you talk about using the money and so forth, I would rather to encourage you to learn what the right kind of money is, like they talk about bankers do, rather than telling you all the ones that are bad. Because there's so many bad ones, so many bad ways of tricking, bad ways of doing things. You will never probably remember them. But if you learn to know some of the basics, some of the basic things that you can see, now this is real. You know, it's got your watermark, and it's got that little strip in there that says $100 in there. And if you even hold it up to a UV light, you can see some of those things. That's the genuine stuff. And the same thing is true in these things, in being aware of false teaching, false doctrine, false prophets. Become familiar with this. We can't spend enough time in this. We can't spend too much time, in this. Become aware of what God, the real thing is. And as you study on what the real thing is, some of these things will stand out. It's like, whoa, 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 something's wrong. Something's not right. The spirit isn't right. The message isn't right. The fruit isn't right. You know, and we see these things. It must match up to the Word of God. If it doesn't, then just like money, we know it's fraud. It's fake. It's not real. So beware. And Jesus is telling us, he's telling us some clues. Watch out. This is how you tell. This is how you tell if it's real or not. This is how you can tell. And you just go to the Word. Just go to the Word. You don't have to be a theologian to do that. You can go to the Word. You can pray. You can seek God. And then also brothers in a brotherhood. We can help each other. We can sharpen each other and those things. those are ways that God has given to us to see through those things. the ending of that chapter as well, I'd like to just highlight in chapter 24. Again, he kind of concludes it there with, I say conclude, actually it's not a conclusion, And he talks about the abomination of desolation and so forth. And then verse 22, he says, except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. And then he says, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, there, believe it not. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. Don't even start down that road, he says. Don't believe it. It's a lie. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets. And the thing that happens here, in the middle of that verse, he says, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. If this Bible, if I would stand here, and while I'm preaching, or else if I'd lay this thing here, and use that cup there, and it would all of a sudden drip some oil, or something like that, and I could just, you know, do some prayer even up front here, and I would demonstrate to you the power of God in that way, how many of us would believe it just because of that miracle? There's many signs and wonders, he says, that they're going to do great signs and wonders. And though a person does that thing, if he brings another gospel, he's not from God. It don't matter. Whatever miracle that we do or somebody does, if it doesn't line up with the word of God, and if it doesn't match what God teaches, don't believe it. Don't believe it. It don't matter how wonderful that experience is. It doesn't matter how sweet that so-called spirit-filled time was. It doesn't matter. If it doesn't line up, it doesn't line up, and it's wrong. It's not good. And Jesus says, beware, be careful. Don't go after those things, and they're going to show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible even to deceive the very elect. Those things are very, very convincing. If someone, one of the places, I think, I don't believe it's in this passage here. Yes, it is. Actually, no, it's not. Sorry. Jesus talks about lightning, but not about that. That's about his second coming. One of the places he says that, I think it's Lucifer or one of his workers calling lightning out of heaven, you know, basically in a demonstration or a sign. And I'm afraid there's many that get swept under by those things. Beware, warning. Warning, beware of false teachers. Are we paying attention to those warnings? Are we paying attention to them? Are we watching the fruit? We don't have to make a big show about it. We don't have to make a big ado about it necessarily, but are we watching and are we discerning the will of God in these things? I don't believe I'm going to just keep you much longer here. There's a few verses. I'd like to read just a few in 2 Peter here. Actually, before I do that, you can turn to that. 2 Peter chapter 2. I want to read a few other verses before that. In 2 Corinthians 11, we read in verse 3, it says, but I fear lest that by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. And he was expressing concern how they would get swept under if they, seemed like they were open-minded, too open-minded to that. Also in Galatians chapter 1, it says, I marvel, verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. This is another gospel that's being preached, which is not another, But there be some that trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. It's perverting the sincere, the pure, the right way. It's perverting that. Verse 8, it says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than unto you than that which is we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel than unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. That should be another warning sign. If somebody claims to be bringing a gospel other than this gospel, let him be accursed. It's not right. It's not good. There is only one, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ, as we, the Bible that has been given to us. In 2 Peter, you all are probably there already. 2 Peter, chapter 2. He's talking there in the first few verses there, in starting in verse 10 there, he talks about the some people that were despising, they were walking in their own lust and despising government. They were presumptuous and so forth and so on. And then he says, in verse 17, he says, these are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them to live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. I'll just stop there. But the thing that I want to point out there is they come with great swelling words, and even that's probably where I think we are probably maybe most easily deceived by, is by great big claims, and actually that's what happened with David Koresh. With Jim Jones, they had big claims, and even this Georgia-based ministry there, where they did that, had that oil thing. It was great big claims, claims of miracle, claims of spirituality, claims of Christ, even, or the Messiah, or claims of prophecy, gifts of prophecy, claiming that above the Word. And God has given the gift of prophecy; He has given those things, but it's always going to line up with His Word. It's always going to be right in line. If it's not, dismiss it. And here he says, they use great swelling words of vanity and allure through the lusts of the flesh. And it seems it's appealing to our flesh. You know, it sounds spiritual, but it's not spiritual. It sounds very spiritual, but it's not. Also in 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you would just turn there yet, 2 Timothy chapter 4. These are some of the warnings that the Bible has. It's some of them. It's not nearly all of them. There's many other scriptures that I could have used here this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 1-4, it says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. The time's coming, and I believe it's here, where that's happening, in this day and age, it's happening. We're, just like he says, the time will come, they will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves, but after their own lust, they will heap to their own themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, teachers that just want to have, what I gather from that is teachers that want to have the praise of the congregation. You know, everything, you know, I really appreciate what you said. I really appreciate what you preached. And that's what keeps them going. And they heap to themselves teachers that go for that. It's fine for, I think it's good for us to also be able to bless somebody that's preaching. But this is warning about those that will not endure sound doctrine. They will look for those that are just fine with going with being buttered up, so to speak. I'm not quite sure, spoken well of how well they're doing on preaching, and through that they get what they want. You know, a little bit like the aphids. If I understand the aphid is those little insects, those little things that. I think the ants, there's a certain kind of ant, I think, that grooms them with their antennas, if I understand right. And they call it milking. They milk them because they like it. They it feels good. I don't know if it tickles them or what. And they love it. And they keep on doing these things. That's what I think of when I think of teachers having itching ears, you know, they love to hear this praise of men. And so they heap to them to that. And it says, he's warning us that there's a time coming when that's going to happen. And I believe some of those things are happening in our day. in 1 John 4, 1 through 3, it says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. And then he goes on and he explains how you can tell whether it's a false prophet or a false spirit. Hereby we know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit, that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and now is already in the world, and even now already is it in the world. And that confessing of Jesus Christ, I believe, for one thing, is with your mouth. For one thing, it specifically mentions that here. Actually doesn't use the word with the mouth, but that confessing Jesus Christ, I believe, is also included, connected with your life. If you do not confess Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, that Jesus has come in the flesh, and that you believe that, and you walk in that, and you accept that as Jesus being your Savior, it says that's how we know whether they are of God or not. If they're just claiming those things, or are they actually living those things? So, warning, beware of false teachers. Let's not overlook the warning signs. We tend to do that. Like I said, we tend to do that in the owner's manuals, the things that we get. Probably is not a good habit. At least, if you get a saw, if you get a... if you get a tool that has a belt on or something like that, you take the guards off. And actually, we can tend to do that, you know, in the physical world. And sometimes we do that spiritually as well. Beware. Warning, beware of false teachers. I think the Bible is full of warnings. And I know some of the companies that make these pieces of equipment, they're trying to do these warnings to safeguard against suing and safeguard against them getting into trouble. But Jesus loved his own even to, like we heard the other Sunday night, loved his own even unto the end. It was all the way to the end that Jesus loved his people. He still does. He loves his people to the end. And it's because of his love that he's giving us these warnings. It's not just to safeguard against lawsuits. It's not just simply to safeguard so we can't get Jesus in trouble. No. It's for our life. It's for our sake that he's done that. So let's take those warnings, take heed to those warnings, and let's allow God to help us that we can experience the life that he wants to give to us. May God bless you.